Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us all, for reconciling us to the Father. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Today is Monday, November the 28th. Can you imagine that? November the 28th. The month is already gone. It's already in the books. I hope and pray you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had a wonderful church service yesterday. And if you were not present, if you weren't able to make it, yesterday, Sunday, well, you can catch us on Facebook, and you can get the whole service. We're looking at worship Jesus, loving on Jesus. And we started on Tuesday in Psalm 2, that messianic psalm, where God the Father encourages every member of the human race to kiss the Son, worship the Son, lest he be angry. On Wednesday, we looked at the Magi, the kings, who came following that great star. They were traveling. They left their homes hundreds of miles away to come and worship the King of the Jews. That was in Matthew 2. Then in Matthew chapter 4, we saw how Satan appeared to Jesus when Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And Satan showed up to tempt him. And Satan said to Jesus, Jesus, now, if you bow down and if you worship me, if you proskuneo me, I will give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus set the devil straight and said, don't you know that it is written, your proskuneo, your worship, should only be given to God, not to creatures. And so after saying that, the devil left him, disappointed in that he could not trip up the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then on Friday, we looked at how the leper in Matthew 8 came and worshiped Jesus. And immediately, Jesus made him whole, healed him of his leprosy, again proving that he is God and worthy of all worship. So the Magi started in Matthew 2. Satan shows up in Matthew 4. The leper shows up in Matthew 8. And in Matthew 15, we have the Canaanitish woman, the woman of Canaan, the Syrophoenician, the Greek woman, who comes. She's not a covenant member of the family of God, yet she comes in desperation. Her daughter is demon-possessed, and Jesus provides and gives her what she requested from him because she came and she worshiped him. She worshiped him. She left not only with the deliverance for her daughter, but she also left saved, redeemed by Jesus himself. Today we're looking at the disciples worship Jesus. They worship Jesus. And again, we did this study this week to show you that there's a certain kind of religious kissing. A religious kissing that can either go two ways. You can either kiss the Lord, and that would be called worship, or you can religiously kiss something else, and that would be called idolatry. Religious kissing, kissing that has to do with worship. What are you worshiping? What are you adoring? What are you giving homage to? So in Matthew 28, as we wrap up the Gospel of Matthew, which is the Gospel of the King, Messiah, the Gospel of the Lord of Lords, here in Matthew 28, Jesus had just finished rising from the dead. And in this chapter, he makes his appearance to his disciples. So we're going to pick it up in Matthew 28, starting at verse 11. So kindly turn to Matthew 28. We begin at verse number 11, and we will work our way down to verse number 17. Matthew 28, verses 11 through 17. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
I do apologize about that. The audio started at verse number 16 instead of verse 11. But again, let's look at two verses here in the text, two verses, verse 9. This is Jesus' first encounter with his disciples, it says. And as they went, tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and they held him by the feet and worshiped him. They proskuneo him. They worshiped him as they would worship God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. They would worship. They worship Jesus because Jesus is God incarnate. So this word proskuneo here in Greek is the worship. If you look at your first bullet point, it is the worship that is addressed to God or to Jesus Christ. Now, if you're holding on to anything's feet and kissing it and bowing before it, and it's not God, you are committing a grave sin. That is the sin of idolatry, of whom the apostles of Christ tell us, flee from idolatry. You're to run from idolatry. Now, the next verse is verse 17, but we'll pick it up at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So what did they do? They all worshiped him. They worshiped him, but some were confused. Some could not believe what they were actually seeing. You know, it's the risen Savior. They saw Jesus die on the cross. They saw him buried. And a few days later, here he is again, alive. Alive. Now they worshiped him. They saw him. They're worshiping their master. They're worshiping their teacher. They're worshiping their rabbi, their mentor, their pedagogue. They're worshiping the Messiah. They're worshiping him. Their human minds, their little puny minds could not get a full grasp of what they were seeing. And some doubted. Some doubted. They worshiped, but they doubted. So notice here again the word worship, de proskuneo. So I want you to see that this word, this prominent Greek word, which is used throughout the New Testament. Now you can worship the true God, or as some, they are worshiping false gods. And this is critical. Whom you kiss, whom you bow before, determines your eternal fate. I want you to go to bullet point 2 here in your outline, and I want to go to the last 4 sentences here. I don't want to read the whole quote. I'll leave that to you. But I want to read the last 4 sentences. And it begins this way. Thus, worship in the New Testament is a two-edged sword. Please note that. Highlight that. Get your highlighter and highlight that. Thus, worship in the New Testament is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, those who worship the Lord will live forever in heaven. Why? Because that's pure worship. That is holy worship. That is biblical worship. That is God-prescribed worship. You are worshiping God. And since you're worshiping God, you're not committing a sin, and thus you would be given admittance into heaven. Now look at the next sentence. Those who submit to any other worship are doomed to eternal damnation. If you worship Satan, if you bow before Satan, as Satan would require you to do, say, you know, how many things has Satan offered movie stars? How many things has Satan offered to artists? How many people have made deals with the devil for fame and fortune and glory? It's a known fact historically. It's known throughout history that there were several men who were going nowhere fast. They make a compact with the devil and they become famous. It's called selling your soul to the devil. That's what Satan was requiring of Jesus. Bow before me. And all these kingdoms that I've shown you and all of their riches and all of their worldly pleasures, all of this will be yours if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, no, thank you. So you see, worship is a double-edged sword. If you worship according to Scripture, you'll live forever in heaven. Those who submit to any other form of worship, let's say you go to St. Peter's Basilica over there in Rome, and you're so impressed with that giant statue of Peter, and you walk up to the marble statue, and you do like all the other pilgrims there, and you go and you kiss that toe. You kiss that marble toe. That's idolatry. Those who do that, or those who worship the Antichrist, those who, when the Antichrist eventually comes, if you bow down and you worship him, or let's say you bow down, let's say the Pope comes to Yankee Stadium, or the Pope comes to the Meadowlands, or the Pope, you know, comes to, let's say Syracuse University, and you go there and you get a ticket, and you happen to be before the Pope, and if you kiss his ring, oh my goodness, you are dooming yourself to eternal damnation. Why? Because that is false proskuneo. That is demonic proskuneo. It is eternally important to watch what we worship is the last sentence. It is eternally important to watch what we worship. Don't worship your church. Don't worship your denomination. Don't worship your creed. Don't worship anything but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I hear some people saying, oh, I worship the ground my wife walks on. What? You worship what? Don't say that. That's silly. Don't say it. You're, as a Christian, as a believer, you're only to worship God. You're only to worship the Lord. I've seen people in newsreels. I've seen this in newsreels. People are up in a plane, and the pilot says to the people on the plane, put your seatbelts on. We're going to hit bad turbulence. And that plane is rocking and shaking, and that plane up there in the air, thousands feet above in the air, seems like it's going to fall apart. And that plane goes up and down, and it hits the wind, and the wind hits the plane, and people are screaming and shouting, and the airbags fall from the top, and the stewardess will tell the people, put your air mask on, and finally the plane lands. The plane lands. And I've seen this in news reports. And people are getting off, and they kneel to the ground. They get on all fours, and they kiss the ground. That's idolatry. If you're going to thank anyone for sparing you from that plane crash, you thank the Lord. You don't kiss the ground. You proskuneo the Lord. See, in many subtle ways, we could be committing idolatry. So let me read those four sentences again. Thus, worship in the New Testament is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, those who worship the Lord, singular, will live forever in heaven. Those who submit to any other worship are doomed to eternal damnation. It is eternally important to watch what we worship. Make sure you only worship God. Make sure of that. Put all your faith in God. Put all your trust in God. Put all your hope in God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't love people. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my family members. I love my friends. I love my fellow church members. Loving them doesn't mean I worship them. I love the Westminster Confession of Faith. I love the Baptist 1689 Confession of Faith, but I don't worship them. I don't worship those creeds. I only worship the Lord. And you need to be careful, extremely careful as to what you worship. Because, again, worship is a two-edged sword. Well, we're going to leave it there. I'm starting a new series tomorrow. I hope and pray that you've been blessed with this part series on worshiping Jesus and why it is important to worship and kiss the Son. I want to leave you with Del Delker's version of that great hymn, The Night Watch. God keep the night watch for you.